Today is a Tuesday night, July 5th, 2005. So today's topic is concept and reality with the Abhidhamma perspectives. So last night, generally, we tried to understand the differences between concept and reality. Today we were trying to understand from point of view of Abhidhamma. So that means Abhidhamma perspective. So please remember, the concept and reality. Concept is a fundamental aspect to understand or to realize ultimate reality. So these two things are relating to one another. In the Abhidhamma perspective, one can obtain or one can realize ultimate realities from understanding conventional truths. For example, the men, women, dogs, cats, these are concept or conventional truths. From this concept, you can understand nama rupa. Nama rupa is related to the so-called man, and the five aggregates. Five aggregate is related to the so-called man or woman or dog or cat. So these are fundamental teachings. How do we understand the differences between a concept and reality? According to Abhidhamma, according to point of view of Buddha's teaching, one can wisely investigate these things with the analytical tools of Abhidhamma. So that means everyone can analyze everyone can investigate the differences between concept and reality using the analytical tools of Abhidhamma. So Abhidhamma is a big tool for understanding this concept and reality. So first of all, we need to explain the ultimate truth or ultimate reality from point of Abhidhamma. There are four kinds of ultimate realities. Almost everyone knows these four kinds of ultimate reality. The first one is what? Citta, consciousness. Second one, cittasika, mental factors. The third one, rupa, matter or form. The last one is nibbana. Okay, this is whoever attended Abhidhamma knows these four things are ultimate reality. So whoever had never ever learned Abhidhamma before, just you learn today, okay? There are four kinds of ultimate realities. Okay, please repeat together. Number one, citta, consciousness. Cittasika, mental factors. Rupa, matter. Nibbana, absolute peace or absolute bliss. Okay, these, according to Abhidhamma, these are called ultimate reality. So just now we say, to understand the ultimate realities, Abhidhamma is analytical tools. Abhidhamma is analytical tools for discovering or investigating these kinds of ultimate realities. So before we analyzing these four ultimate realities, first one, we need to understand the each categories, their functions or their characteristic for your knowledge. According to Abhidhamma, there's four kinds of ultimate realities. The first one is a citta, consciousness. Whenever you hear the citta, then what do you think citta What is citta? Or consciousness? What do you think? Citta is what? Okay, according to translation, citta is a consciousness or mind. Okay, the mind or consciousness. You are not very sure what is the consciousness or what is mind and so on. So Abhidhamma try to understand you, its character, from point of view of Abhidhamma perspective. So citta or consciousness or the mind has its own character. Its characteristic is to know or cognize the objects. So without naming the citta, okay, we can say something. There is a something which is able to know or able to cognize the objects. This is citta. This is a consciousness. So there is a something. Something is referred to the citta. Is able to know or able to cognize the objects. This function or this character is known as citta or called citta. But the real function is whether you can understand related to name or citta or related to your experience. Actually, reality is supposed to relate to your experience, not relate to the name only. So that's why if you really understand the nature of citta, that means you need to practice meditation so that you may discover, you may explore, you may find something. There is a something which is able to know or cognize the objects. This is citta. So, of course, the commentators define citta in the three ways. The first one is as an agent, that is to cognize objects. The second one is as an instrument, that is to know objects accompanying mental factors. The last one, citta, is as an activities. That is, citta itself is nothing other than process of cognizing or process of knowing. So according to these three definitions, the last one is more relevant to this matter or this view, the activity. An activity, that means the process of cognizing or process of knowing objects. This is a citta. Characteristic of citta. So citta, according to Abhidhamma, altogether 89 types. So 89 types is relating to in different way. Is relating to feeling, relating to sphere. It's many way to categorize. Okay, first one is the simple way to understand wholesome citta, unwholesome citta, unwholesome citta, wholesome citta. There's a vibhaga, the resulting citta, and the kriya functions or functional citta or functional consciousness. If you unwholesome citta, that means akusala citta. Wholesome citta, it is kusala citta. Resulting citta, there's a vibhaga citta. And the kriya citta, the functional citta. When the citta is getting put into the categories because of different functions, they will act or they will perform according to citta-sika, how to relate the citta-sika. Another thing is a citta for sensual sphere, citta for what we call karma citta, that is relating to sensual sphere or sensual plane. Or rupa citta relating to rupa or jhana factors, and the arupa citta relating to arupa jhana, and the lokottara citta relating to supramundane. So even though citta has the naturally or according to characteristics, only one it takes only one function, perform its one function. But according to Abhidhamma, according to categories, they are, can be divided into different level or different position. So you don't need to memorize all the things, but you need to understand citta is something which is able to know or able to cognize the objects. This is a citta. But if you want to follow, if you want to learn according to a textual way, of course you have to memorize the 12 kinds of unwholesome citta, you know, the 80 types of rootless citta, and so on, so many categories, okay? Either kamma citta, rupa citta, arupa citta, and lokottara citta. I don't want you to memorize everything for this moment, just you know citta has own function, own characteristic. It is to able to know or able to cognize objects. That is a citta. So when the Buddha is the citta is defined, since you understand the nature of citta, since you realize the character of citta, you may realize it. There is a function. It exists. That's what we call intrinsic nature. They have own nature, own function. So if you realize it, that function, that nature, there is no room for I. Because if you do not know this function, which is able to understand or able to know the objects, then you may presume, you may have wrong concept. There's an I which is knowing to the objects. Actually, the knowing the object is not because of I. Actually, there is function or citta which is able to know the objects. So if you do not know the functions of citta, you may presume there is I or there is a soul. We call universal soul or maybe individual soul which is knowing the objects. The second category is which are known as citta-sika, we call mental factors. According to Abhidhamma, these mental factors are categorized into 52 types. 52 types of categories consist of citta-sika. So before you learn the types or categories, I don't want you to memorize all kinds of 52 types, but I want you to know what is citta-sika. According to Abhidhamma, the citta-sikas assist cittas by performing more specific tasks. That means citta-sika has own function, that is to assist cittas to perform their own function to prominence or specific tasks by helping citta-sika. So that means the citta is regarded as a primary aspect, while the citta-sika is like secondary object, the aspects. So in the conclusion, we can understand citta-sikas, if you say plural, okay, citta-sikas arise depending on citta, but citta-sika determine citta what it is. Like citta-sika is like child or daughter or son. They are very much dependent on their parents, but the children or the son determine for father's function. It's something like this. So in the Abhidhamma, precisely explain citta and citta-sika arise together. The citta and citta-sika have the same base in the same objects. So very difficult to separate one another according to Abhidhamma, because they arrive together, cease together, they have same base in the same objects. So how we can separate these two things? How yogis understand these two things? Because since they arise together, they cease together. How we will differentiate? Of course, the Buddha's mind already, you know, set it up for us, because of the Buddha already taught up the Abhidhamma teachings, how to differentiate citta and citta-sika. There's a metaphor, there's a water and color. Because sometimes the water is so clear, so transparent, can't see, very difficult to see itself. If you add the color into the water, so water will change. For example, if you the powder, the yellow powder or blue powder or a yellow color, blue color, put into the water, so water color is a change. So muddy color, yellow color, blue color, and so on, so that you can see the water nature clearly. Without adding the color, itself is very difficult to see. For this reason, the Abhidhamma scholars used to say the citta itself cannot be determined as a wholesome citta and wholesome citta, because itself is like clear water, so very difficult to determine the color. Until citta-sika is associated, began to associate to the citta, then citta can be determined. This is wholesome citta and wholesome citta. The wholesome and unwholesome are actually related to citta-sika. Itself is like citta is a citta. Its function is to know the objects. So citta and citta-sika, they are relating to one another. Citta itself, it cannot be said, no one can say this is wholesome citta and wholesome citta until citta-sika is associated to citta or consciousness. So for example, citta itself is has its function, it's to know the objects. Then if you add greedy citta-sika or attachment citta-sika into the citta, so that means attachment citta, or means a greedy citta, greedy consciousness. If you add anger into the citta-sika and citta, that means the anger associated to citta, that means dosa citta, or angry citta, angry mind, or greedy mind, and so on. So this, they work together, they sit together. Then for example, citta pay attention to observe the one object, citta-sika observe the another object, not that way. Whatever the citta is, observe the citta-sika all the time, so follow. For this reason, they say citta and citta-sika have the same objects and the same base. Okay, they work together. So what you should know if you never attend the Abhidhamma class, whenever we see the citta, of course, for knowledge, how many citta-sika? How many cittas? 89 types, okay? How many citta-sika? 52 types. For example, citta-sika, they have each, citta-sika consists of 52 types and categories, but they have own function, each function. That's why the 52 functions will exist in the citta-sika. For example, perception, sanya is a citta-sika. Feeling is a citta-sika. Vitaka, thinking, is a citta-sika. Mindfulness is a citta-sika. Sada is a citta-sika. Wisdom is a citta-sika. You know this, you know the metta is a citta-sika. That means adosa. So these kinds of functions have their own characteristic. For example, perception has own characteristic is to remember past. That's why we call remembering the memories, this is called functions of perception. Okay, you remember the present, that's what we call sati, mindfulness. So whatever your physical body is acting or performing, then your mindfulness will remember that what is a physical body is acting. So this is we call mindfulness or remember the present. Now vitaka will think whatever it's able to think. then because that thinking mind is one of function. But if you know these functions according to their characters, then you may learn that this, you may notice or you may realize it. This or each, every chittasikas taking or performing their own function. No such things either I or soul really performing, there is thinking or realizing. In the Western philosophy, used to say, I think, therefore I am. Because if there is a something is able to think, that thinking is I. That's why I exist. Okay? I think, therefore I am. That means they presume there is a something think, that thinking is I. According to Buddhist perspective, no one thinks but chittasika. Therefore, no I exist. Who think? Who think? I think or something think. What do you think? Who think? If you think I think, then I will exist. Who think? One of mental factors will think. That is a vitaka. Vitaka means thinking, repeating, again and again, again and again. If you really know, there's a one of mental factors performing its function, then you realize it, you discover it, there's a no room for I. For this reason, according to perspective, I say, no one thinks but chittasika, more precisely, vitaka. Therefore, no I exist. The Western view, they used to say, I think, therefore I am. Because of I think, again, that therefore I exist. According to Buddhist perspective, no such I really exists because of their mental factors acting their own function. If you learn this Abhidhamma as a tool to discover ultimate reality, it's really wonderful. But now you are learning theories, but concept, but name, actually whatever chittasika is, we can say even though Abhidhamma, but more precisely there is a name for ultimate reality, but itself is not ultimate reality yet. So you yogis have to discover, have to explore by means of vipassana practice or by means of meditation, eventually you can discover this characteristic, its reality. What? Using the Abhidhamma 2 or Abhidhamma explanation. Because of these kinds of experience, then you may realize it, that is a reality, ultimate truth, ultimate reality. So you can differentiate yourself. How can I differentiate between the knowing ultimate reality or knowing the concept for ultimate reality? Please remember, we already emphasized concept and reality or conventional truths, ultimate truths, never exist together. If ultimate truths exist in your mind, there's a no room for conventional truths. If your mind, a conventional truth exists in your mind, there's a no room for ultimate reality. So that means there is two things. For example, through your experience, you may realize there is a reality, physical phenomena or mental phenomena, but not name for physical phenomena, name for ultimate reality, but you truly experience there is a mental phenomena, that is something which is able to know. There's a not individual, not identity. You say there is a something. It's a acting, it's a function. So this is a mind, or this is a mental phenomena. This mental phenomena is knowing what? The objects. The objects can be physical objects, can be mental objects, as a feeling or the object. Greedy is a become object. Knowing how to call mindfulness and the objects and so on. So long as you really experience these two entities through your practice, then your mind began to realize, oh, these two entities truly exist in the five aggregates. So there's your wrong view. That means, since you do not know the two entities clearly as a physical phenomena, as a mental phenomena, so you simply put that kind of function into I, or soul or ego, soul or self. For this reason, these two things never exist together, so you can realize it. According to Abhidhamma, there's a third category we call rupa. Rupa is a matter. Okay, the rupa is a matter. This matter, but you need to understand the rupa, matter, or form, that is name for ultimate reality. It has its own function, really exists. And then in the real world or reality. For example, rupa literally means change. That is, the changing nature is a rupa. So whenever you want to know the rupa, that means something has their own function, own intrinsic nature. This nature is a changing entity, or changing aspect, changing reality. The cause of change are many. For example, like heat, cold, hunger, and thirst. For example, when you live in the very cold country or weather, so your body change. Sometimes your face become red, or the skin is a crack, and so on. So when you stay in the tropical country, this rupa or matter can change. When you get in the sun, sweating, whatever. Or when you get cold, then your body changes. But when you get hungry, your body may change. Or when you are thirsty, your body shows something. Then that's why these causes can change your physical phenomena. So this changing nature is a rupa. Of course, the so-called your form or body. This is a name for just name. But ultimate reality is beyond that, whatever you see, the appearance. So that's when according to Abhidhamma, rupa consists of how many types? 28 types. How many types of rupa? 28 types. Okay? But you don't need to memorize this 28 types, but you need to understand that rupa means changing nature. Or there is a deform or changed by certain causes or certain condition. According to Abhidhamma, of course, many people know the four elements or four dhatu. We call Patavi dhatu, Avo dhatu, Tejo dhatu, Vayo dhatu. This is very common, the four elements. Whatever we say, according to Abhidhamma, the elements, but name for the ultimate reality, that is Patavi dhatu as elements. Vayo dhatu is a water element. Tejo dhatu, fire element. Avo dhatu, that is a Avo dhatu is a water element. So this is a name for ultimate reality. Their own intrinsic nature is beyond that name. For example, when you practice your Vipassana meditation, yogi can realize this ultimate reality beyond the name. Name itself is like, for example, Patavi dhatu, at elements. A yogi can see not at elements. At elements contains such as reality, such as softness, hardness. Even though we say that at element means the Buddha Vidadu. But real experience is softness, hardness. But softness, hardness also, even though we name it, actually softness, hardness is not name only, but actually reality is exist. Just now we see that matter can change by conditions. So for example, the another thing is ultimate reality, they have their own intrinsic nature, nothing can change. So what is the differences? The ultimate reality has their own intrinsic value, and then just now is a rupa, matter is a changing nature. That means changing means won't change their ultimate value, but actually changing by that certain condition. For example, like the nature of softness, hardness. If you put near the core, the softness, hardness nature will be cold. If you put the near the heat or fire, then softness, hardness can be hot. But the real intrinsic nature never changes. Softness is a softness, hardness is a hardness. That's why they have all intrinsic nature. For this reason, the rupa is considered to ultimate reality. Chitta, consciousness, chittasika, mental factors, mental states. And the rupa is a matter we call conditions. You can ask the question, is it that rupa can change by conditions? How about chitta, chittasika can change or conditions by conditions or not? They need change too, but not their intrinsic, cannot change their intrinsic nature. But certain conditions can change. For example, at the moment your mind is happy, okay, there is a condition to make you happy. Then another moment you see someone, you are the most hateful person, your mind is happy, mind can change or not? How will it change? Happy mind is changed into unhappy mind. Is it? Can change by condition. That's why chitta, chittasika, rupa, another condition can change. Then if you do so, why the commentators emphasize only rupa is a changing nature, chitta, chittasika do not seem to be changed. Actually they change, but rupa for concept or conventional truth, we can see the form or shape. So the changing nature can see by others. Chitta chittasika can see or not? For example, you at the moment your mind is very happy, then another moment you see someone because you don't like, then your mind will be happy feeling or happy nature change to unhappy feeling, unhappy nature. Can you see it or not? But you can't see it, your mind, because of they are not substance. But you can see your phenomena, your physical phenomena. Smiling face, angry face are different or not? Can see it or not? But you just smile, then someone they come. So that your face can change. That's when the commentator emphasized rupa is a changing, can be changed by conditions. Indeed, chitta chittasika also can be changed, condition. According to four ultimate reality, chitta chittasika rupa is conditions, are conditions. Nirvana is unconditioned. Nirvana cannot change. Okay, what is the Nirvana? Oh, before we proceed, Nirvana. The rupa, the so-called the form, the body. To arise this matter, or to arise this form, there are four modes of origin. There are four conditions can arise this matter, or this form. The first one is a karma. Karma means here, chirana, or pollution. The chitta, consciousness. The utu, temperature. And the ahara, nutriment. These four conditions can arise the rupa or matter or form. Is it possible? Because we have past karma. So this karma generates to get a new existence, new form. So citta, attachment citta or reverse linking citta, all the puducana cannot detach all the existence. Your consciousness is still attached or how to call clinging to existence. So that kind of citta proceeds future existence, so that you are becoming to into existence due to karma, due to citta consciousness, due to utu temperature. For example, sometimes the like temperature is not balanced, not enough warm, then that form cannot arise. For example, like lay egg. Sometimes the hands or dark, they didn't properly cover the eggs. The eggs can be swine, cannot be hatched into the baby. So also, we human, to become existent, there is a need certain temperature. If you test a tube, the baby in the testing in the tube, but you have to provide the suitable temperature, otherwise baby cannot be alive. Then, nutrients, certain nutrients necessary. This is for human, particularly few human existence. But you should not presume all the beings or existence will be equally due to this four condition. No. Because the Brahma, they all the time is meditating. They are only very much dependent on their nutrition. Like humans need to intake certain foods. Brahma, no need to intake. So long as the practice meditation, they gain the PD or joy. This joy become their nutriment. Like for beings who suffer in the hell, for them is their condition, their matter or their form can arise due to only karma condition, not other conditions. For example, being who suffer in the hell, you chop off his head, they cannot die. Is it good? They suffer a lot, even though they chop off the head, the hell beings cannot die. Even though you spear just through from the chest to back, that the hell beings cannot die because of their conditions are due to karma, not due to nutrition, not due to other things. Citta. But for humans, if you someone they chop off your head, can you survive or not? Surely you will die. But hell beings cannot die. So that's why for human beings, four conditions or four origins can arise the so-called this body or this form. This form is also changing by nature due to other conditions. The last one is the Nibbana, absolute peace. So whenever we try to understand the Nibbana, it's a very difficult subject to explain what is Nibbana. Really amazing that all the Buddhists always make their wish to attain Nibbana. I wonder whether they know whatever they wish Nibbana is what. Most of Buddhists will know or not what is Nibbana. Without knowing, what for you are wishing for Nibbana? Roughly we know, of course, Nibbana is the end of suffering, or the end of existence, or end of defilements, and so on. So we know that there's a no existence, that means we will be happy. There's a defilement, because due to the defilement, we suffer a lot. That's why there's no defilement, we will get peace and happiness and absolute peace. Since there is an existence, we have to suffer a lot, such as aging, sickness, death. So since there's no existence, we will not suffer any longer. That's why we know roughly Nirvana is the end of suffering. Even though we will not know what's the nature is Nirvana, but since we know the Nirvana is the end of suffering, no one wants to suffer. That's why the Buddhist imagine or Buddhist expectation to be free from suffering of samsara or suffering of dukkha. So this is Nirvana. But anyhow, in the literature, you see, Nibbana is Vana Sankhataya Nikandata Nibbanandi Ujjati Ujjati. That means Nibbana means departure from craving. Departure from craving. So if your mind is really shallow, if your mind is really not absorbed in the Buddha's teaching, if you are not very clear in the Buddha's teaching, departure from craving is very difficult to understand. Because the Nibbana, as we know, for Buddhajana, definitely cannot understand the true nature of Nibbana, even though we say absolute peace or absolute bliss. This is a name for ultimate reality, but not for your experience. So, whenever we try to understand Nibbana, because Nibbana can be known by only enlightened beings. So long as you haven't attained but in future knowledge, then you cannot understand clearly what nature is for Nibbana. What is Nibbana nature? You cannot understand. So, because of this side, how to explain you cannot understand, then commentator, including the Buddha or Arahant, explain this side. Because of Nibbana, Nibbana is the departure from craving. The other side is craving to existence. So craving to existence means you are the other side of Nibbana. Departure from craving to existence means you come into exist in Nibbana. So first of all, you need to understand, if you really wish to attain Nibbana, you need to understand the disadvantage of craving or advantage of craving. What is disadvantage of craving? Since you have a lot of craving, a lot of clinging to existence, even though you want to live peace and happiness, you have to face a lot of problems. Aging problems, sickness problems, social problems, business problems, family problems, a lot of problems. Because these problems come from craving. So long as you exist, you cling to existence, then existence itself generates so many problems. For this reason, one of Buddhist scholars said, or make statement, existence equals sorrow. So long as you are living existence, don't wish, I don't want to get suffering. So long as you live existing, I don't want to face any problem. Is it possible? Because existing itself equals sorrow. So long as you are living in the worry society, you have to worry. But unless you are wise or you know how to reflect on the Dharma, then your understanding may reduce your worry and unhappiness. Otherwise, you have to suffer like other beings. That will be equal. So, the existing equals sorrow. For this reason, those beings or those people who really understand the disadvantage of craving to existence, they want to detach or they want to abandon that craving or power of craving. Or they want to escape from themselves, from the influence of craving, power of craving. For this reason, the Buddha proclaimed, even the first statement of the Buddha statement, Anika Jati Samsara, and so on, the Buddha proclaimed that, since I haven't seen you, I have to suffer a lot, endlessly. Today I see you for craving. You, because I have craving, that craving built the existing like carpenter or constructor that built many houses, many buildings, because of you means craving. Since now I destroy the power of craving, you need no longer to build my body or my existence. I mean, already destroy everything what you have power. So that means, since I can't see you, you means craving, I have to suffer a lot. Now I already see you, I already destroy your power. You don't need to build any longer my existence or my body or my kanda. So that's why the departure from craving is nibbana. So if you really want to attain nibbana, you try to explore what is craving, what is the disadvantage of craving, what is insignificance of craving. Then you will learn. According to Abhidhamma, according to Prichasmubhara, there are two roots for your future existence. They are ignorance and craving. Ignorance makes you blind or create you in darkness. So they crave more and more, according to Prichasmubhara teaching. According to Four Noble Truths, the main cause is what? Craving, samudaya saccha, truth or craving. So long as you craving to exist, you cannot escape from the suffering. So if you really want to escape from suffering, you need to destroy or you need to overcome the power of craving. So those who really wish to attain nirvana, you must realize disadvantage of craving, so that you are able to detach that kinds of power of craving. So this is nibbana. So nibbana is, they say, nibbana is supramundane, and it is to be realized by the knowledge of thoughts, paths, or paths and fusion knowledge. Those who already attain the path and fusion knowledge, they will see the real nature or ultimate real nature of ultimate reality, absolute peace. That means so long as you cannot achieve path and fusion knowledge, you cannot see it, the true nature of nibbana. But if you want to know the nibbana, I put two books in your Buddhist library, so you can read it. Nibbana is too deep, too difficult to understand the subject, because we cannot explain only one sitting to realize nibbana. Even you read the whole book, but I will grant you. Now you seem to know what is nibbana. Then after reading my books, you will get lost. You don't know what is the nibbana. Maybe. This is a way to understand. Okay, what is the significance of the Abhidhamma teaching, doctrine? So you see, whenever the Buddha explained the Abhidhamma subject, first of all, the Buddha trying to avoid the individual terms or identity terms. No man, no woman, okay? No beautiful, okay, whatever they say, because of trying to avoid the individuality, personality. Because of related term for personality. So the Buddha trying to use the term for ultimate reality, name for ultimate reality, for example, Chitta, Chittasika, Rupa, Rupa and Nibbana. The Chitta, Chittasika, Rupa, another term means five aggregates. If you five aggregate, another term means man or woman. Is it? Man or woman means five aggregates. If you can see the five aggregate, you can see the man or woman. If you see the five aggregate, whenever you look at someone, you cannot see a man or woman. In daily life, what will you see? Man or woman or five aggregates? Man or woman, because of you can't see the five aggregates. So if you see the Nama Rupa is name for man or woman. If you see the Nama Rupa, then you can't see the man or woman. If you see the man or woman, you can see or Nama Rupa. So two conventional truths, ultimate truths, never exist together, okay? So the Abhidhamma teaching try to help you as a tool to explore whether this reality truly exists or not. Because the Sotanda method is a meditation, is like a kind of method, for example, Sri Prana meditation comes from Sotanda. But even the other 40 types of meditation come from the Sotanda as well. But Abhidhamma explained in detail. And then when you practice Samatha meditation. Samatha meditation itself is a name for conventional truth. For example, like when you practice metta, I means five aggregate, or the conventional truth. May my parents, may my teachers be free from dangers, mental suffering, physical suffering. It itself is like conventional truth or ultimate truth. Conventional truth. So when you practice Vipassana meditation, you see the four foundations of mindfulness. The first one is what? Contemplation on the body. No personality, okay, body. Contemplating on the feeling. Contemplating on the perception. Then contemplating on the consciousness or Dhamma objects. Okay, they're not perception, they call contemplating on the body, contemplating on feeling, contemplating on consciousness, and then contemplating on the mind objects. Mind object including rupa, the remaining chitta. So you can see that when we divide into five aggregates, the Buddha put into group which one is the most prominent. At that time, five are the most prominent. What is aggregates of matter, aggregates of feeling, aggregates of perception, aggregates of consciousness, or aggregates of mental formation, aggregates of perception. When you learn the Abhidhamma, then you can understand more clearly. For example, aggregates of mental formation, if you do not learn Abhidhamma, you cannot understand the meaning. What do you think? Aggregates of mental formation. What is? Mental formation means what? Just now we say, Chittasika contains how many types? 52 types. Okay? 52 types. One of aggregate we call Vedanakhanda. Aggregates of feeling take out one function, that is a feeling function, Vedana. The aggregates of perception take out the perception, Sanya, as a one group because of prominent. The remaining 50 put into one group, that is aggregates of mental formation. So if you learn the Abhidhamma, you know exactly what the meaning is. If you never ever learn the Abhidhamma, aggregates of mental formation, you cannot understand. So that is the significance for learning Abhidhamma. Even though terminology or tongue or name for ultimate reality. Okay, say again, then come back again. Like aggregates of consciousness. Whenever the Buddha trying to teach Abhidhamma, divide into Chitta, Chittasika, Rupa, five groups. Okay, five groups. Out of three, Chitta, Chittasika, Rupa. Nibbana is out of list of aggregates. So whenever the Buddha teach you four foundation of mindfulness, then the Buddha divide into another way. Okay, one prominent thing is matter. Okay, aggregate also show five aggregates of matter. But here aggregate, you know, concept, how to call contemplating on the body. Okay, that is a prominent. Secondly, Vedanakhanda, aggregates of feeling. Feeling is a very prominent when the Buddha provides as an object to observe. Then aggregates of chitta, consciousness are very prominent. According to five aggregate, also Vedanakhanda, aggregates of consciousness. According to four foundation of mindfulness, this chitta also one group remaining. Then according to four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha put the rest of ultimate realities, including Samchitasika and Nibbana, under the Dhamma objects. We got this one, contemplating on the mind objects, including the remaining all these Chitta, Chittasika, Rupa. Of course, Chitta already take out, Chittasika only feeling is a take out. Then the remaining things are under the Dhamma Nupassana, Dhamma objects. Nibbana is under the Dhamma objects because of Four Noble Truths, including. So that's why Abhidhamma is very analytical tool to realize ultimate reality. So since we use analytical tool, Abhidhamma is analytical tool for exploring or discovering the ultimate reality. There's a question. So whatever we learn, Citta, Cittasika, Rupa, Nibbana are ultimate reality or not. More precisely, I will say, this is the name for ultimate reality. If you really practice meditation, you will realize it, this reality, whether truly exists or not. If you do not practice meditation, you may guess this will probably exist. This probably may not exist, for example, I or so. Okay? But if you practice meditation, you can see clearly this ultimate reality. So that's why the Commissioner Truths, the second group last night we already mentioned, name for ultimate reality, then the last one is a experience of ultimate reality. We Buddhists are supposed to go to reach that level. That's why meditation is necessary. If you want to really become real Buddhist, but you just learn theory, that is you are theory Buddhist. Not real Buddhist yet, is it? Theory Buddhist. Because the Buddha is that he put so much effort for fulfilling the parami. He sacrificed so much, you know, the life, many lifespan, many property, many things. Because he wants to share his knowledge, or he wants to possess certain ability which is able to help others. That means without attaining sabbinyuddha jnana, he cannot help others. That's why he had to make effort to attain sabbinyuddha jnana first for himself. Then to attain sabbinyuddha jnana for himself, he need to fulfill 10 parami, 10 perfections. So 10 perfections, not for only one day, not for 10 days, not for 1 month. Actually, 4 aeons and 100,000 light, the cycle of lifespan. They said the shortest bodhisattva, the longest bodhisattva is 16 aeons of 100,000 existence. If you emphasize avidya, our Buddha is emphasized for wisdom. Second type is emphasized for sadha, faith. So if you really want to realize it, ultimate reality, that means conventional truth, ultimate truth, there's only one way. That one way is what? Meditation. That's why the sleep dana is the only one way to attain or to realize differences between concept and reality. So Abhidhamma is a technical tool or analytical tool for exploring the nature of ultimate reality. So sometimes you may presume, I realize it's ultimate reality. I seem to understand ultimate reality. You can test now it is. Because now it's a medical field or computer field, there's a test. Whether this is, you know, the how to call testing is it true or not, you can test yourself. How will you test? Your knowledge or your understanding are very much based on concept or very much based on reality. How you will test? For example, I know Nama Rupa. This is, you really know or not, you need to test yourself. How will you test? If you are knowing in both eyes, you are knowing physical phenomena, mental phenomena, that knowing is still involve I concept. That means I knowing means you are not really knowing. That's a conceptually you know it. But there's a no I involved. There's a physical phenomena, there's a mental phenomena. There is a something is a knowing. Who know? Consciousness will know the mind. Itself consciousness may not know I mean myself is a consciousness. Its function is knowing the objects. So knowing, that's why consciousness has own characteristic. It is able to know the objects. Knowing in the knowing objects. These two entities truly exist so that there's no room for I. That kinds of realization are truly realized ultimate reality. That's a basic ultimate reality, because intuitive wisdom are so many. Since you realize the differences between concept, undergoing physical phenomena or mental phenomena, that kinds of intuitive wisdom can overcome or can remove wrong view that is I all the time exist. If you see the eventually causing effect, that kinds of realization can overcome, you know, the things without cause arises. That's why other religions believe, their belief system is no cause, but cause is a creator. Seeing to past life, you are not beings. Seeing to future, you will not go, because of that cause suddenly created by cause, God or creator. Suppose you know, you realize it, three universal characteristics. The so-called physical is a nama-rupa, or realization nama-rupa. These entities are relating to rising, passing away nature. There's no exception. The person, rising, passing away nature all the time is interrupt you, torture you, overwhelm you. Then you feel that there is an unsatisfactoriness for existence or suffering. Then eventually you notice everything beyond one's control. That means no other, no soul is controlling you. Actually, everything beyond the control. So that there's no such things other is really exist. This one just now I say, I think, therefore I am. That's a way to Westerners all the time is emphasized. You know, just now we say is that no one thinks, but Chittasika thinks, or Vitaka thinks, therefore I do not exist. So you are more and more clearer. So if you really clearer, what benefit, what is significance for your realization? So you will reduce ego, or your atta will not be no longer stronger, even though you cannot overcome completely. Then also you are understanding the Dharma, your human sense will be getting stronger, your spiritual realizations will be getting stronger, then your human attitude will be better. Eventually your intellectual sense leading you to achieve but in fruition knowledge, that is a real understanding of ultimate reality. So we need to understand step by step. For this reason, I say conventional truth is a fundamental aspect to realize ultimate reality. Without conventional truth, we cannot understand ultimate reality, because you see, ultimate reality has no name. Without name, how we will explain the ultimate reality. Name is still useful for understanding ultimate reality, but name itself are not ultimate reality. So that way to Abhidharma perspective, Abhidharma is a really wonderful tool or analytical tools for realization of Nirvana or realization of the ultimate realities. So knowing this, understanding this, may you differentiate between the concept and reality, or we call conventional truths, ultimate truths, so as to achieve but infusion knowledge in this very life.